Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for each other. We thank you that our families are complete in you. We thank you, Lord, for every good and perfect gift because it comes from you. And Father God, we thank you for the Institute of Biblical Learning. We thank you, oh God, for your wisdom, knowledge, and the revelation wisdom and knowledge that burst forth in our hearts, oh God. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your presence. Thank you for your leading and your guiding on tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. We ask, oh God, that you would bless every man, woman, boy, or girl under the sound of our voices. Glory to God. Every glory to God. Every student, every family is represented, oh God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you give them super abundantly above, that you give them life and have it more abundantly to them in Jesus' name. We decree and declare the harvest of the Lord upon them right now in Jesus' name. We decree and declare the harvest of every seed, every good seed sown by them and their family and throughout the years and throughout the ages to be received by them in Jesus' name. We glorify your name. We honor your name today, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for making every crooked place straight, every rough place plain, exalted every valley, every mountain and hill making low. And we thank you, Lord, for your glory being revealed in our lives today, even tonight, in Jesus' name. And we praise your name. We glorify your name. We bless your name. We honor your name, for the power and the glory is yours in Jesus' name. And the class said,
Amen.
Hallelujah. I feel my health coming, Lord Jesus. hallelujah. Our pastor, Jesus, if you would do the roll call, please.
Hallelujah.
Angelette Harris. Annette
Jean. Yeah.
Kibby Stevenson.
Kibby in the house.
Tiffany Walker. Warren.
I'm here.
All right.
Bless the Lord. God bless you. The classes on today, the first class is spiritual maturity. The second class today is Know Your Bible, and of course the instructor for that is Pastor Peaches. So this class we are doing right now is spiritual maturity, and the text is Grosha Kadia, growing towards spiritual maturity. And where did we leave off last? We're in chapter 4. I know it's at least page 42. It may be 43 now. I'm not sure. The last paragraph.
Page 42 said biblical infallibility.
Okay. And we'll start off with Deacon A.
No, I'm sorry.
No.
It's inspiration. Inspiration.
Okay. Well, can you read the first paragraph? When you get to the end of the paragraph, please say end the paragraph. And if there's any discussion or question about what was read, we'll have 2 or 3 minutes to deal with that, and then we go to the next paragraph and the next reader. All right, Deacon AJ, if you would start us off.
I'm sorry. Before we start, can I have the page of where we are? I'm sorry.
42.
Four paragraphs.
The second paragraph under the authority of God's word.
Hallelujah.
It starts off with biblical inspiration.
Why am I so? You said page 42, correct?
Yes.
42.
And 42 is granting of requests. In the book that I'm looking at, spiritual maturity, correct?
Yes, spiritual maturity. Okay, that may be another issue. I don't know.
The book you have is a tree at the bottom of your book. Small
tree. On the cover.
On the cover, I have a forest of trees at the top.
Oh, that's different.
I think they sent us another a different. If you can't find where we are, exclude you from reading because you may not be reading the wrong thing. That may be a newer edition of the same book. That sounds like what it is.
I'll make sure that you have the same book that we're reading from. Okay. And we apologize for that. That's not on you, Sister Tiffany.
That is on the company. Well, anyway, let's go. Elder QB. Can you start us off, please?
Biblical inspiration means that the Holy Spirit supernaturally controlled and guided the human authors.
Awesome.
The biblical book, so that they wrote precisely what God wanted said. The human authors wrote from that background of their own experiences, using their mind and individual writing styles. They spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21.
Yeah.
God's authorship of scripture is not limited to passages where he is the direct speaker or dictator or dictated the context. All scripture out by God.
Yes.
2 Timothy 3:16. Mm-hmm. Even the choice of individual words was divinely controlled so that the terms used would convey the right meaning. End of paragraph.
Amen. Two scriptures that paragraph mentioned was 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And that scripture you see in your syllabus. Any question or comment upon that chapter? Okay, let's move swiftly to the next chapter. Elder Cuby, could you read for us?
Yes, sir. Biblical infallibility. Okay, thank you. Biblical infallibility refers to the effectiveness of God's word in achieving God's intended purposes. Isaiah 55:11. God so works through the biblical message that his intentions are accomplished. End of paragraph.
And you can kind of see that some of the scriptures that we use in the morning worship are appearing here in this text. Isaiah 55:11. Again, these are to share with you, to make you confident in the word of God, that it was breathed upon the writers, the 40 quote-unquote authors of the Bible, really the ink pens, the quills that God used.
Mm-hmm.
He used them as they were conduits for which his word was placed on paper, and it was God breathed upon. He instructed them. He led them to write what is written so it could be not misinterpreted.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Okay. Pastor Peaches, can you read the next paragraph for us, please?
Biblical inerrancy is a technical phrase for the accuracy of the biblical message. It affirms that what the Bible teaches on any subject it addresses is true. Properly understood, the message of the Bible gives correct information. Hebrews 2:1-4.
End of
paragraph.
Okay, Hebrews, give me that scripture again.
Hebrews 2:1-4.
Okay, that was a short paragraph, wasn't it?
Yes. They're very short.
Can you read that again for us, please?
Yes. Biblical inerrancy is a technical phrase for the accuracy of the biblical message. It affirms that what the Bible teaches on any subject it addresses is true. Properly understood, the message of the Bible gives correct information.
Okay, hold on just a second. Are there two phones there? Because I hear what you're saying twice.
Okay. I had to call AJ on one.
I'll
hang up the house phone.
Wait a minute.
Okay. All right. But I was hearing that in the background. There's somebody repeating, but that was you being repeated. You have the same thing on two phones, so you can just take it off of one of the phones, okay?
I did, dear.
Thank you so much. Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right. Can we do that one more time?
Yes. Biblical inerrancy is a technical phrase for the accuracy of the biblical message. It affirms that what the Bible teaches on any subject it addresses is true. Properly understood, each of the Bible gives correct information. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4.
Amen. And inerrancy means no error, without error or mistake. Okay. Any questions or comments on that?
Pastor, I do have a question. It doesn't really refer to that, but I'm just thinking, all these different writers, they got the wording from the Lord. I wonder what they were thinking as they were writing.
That's a good question.
You know, just,
I don't know. I perhaps would venture to say they may be thinking just as we're thinking as we write our papers or term papers or even books. They're thinking the same thing, but the thoughts come from God. They come into you. They come in as an unction from the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And I could imagine they think much like we would think if we, somebody was over our shoulder and said, look here, I'm going to dictate something to you and write this.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to write. It's like, and some of them, and a personal example is when I began to write the first book and the second book, the book almost wrote itself. It gave me what to say next in the next book. And I believe that the Holy Spirit breathed upon these folk. And it's like it wrote itself, like the words came. The words didn't just come arbitrarily, but it came in a distinct way. In an inerringly way, so that there would be no error or no misunderstanding. And if you look at the Word of God, it talks about Christ from Genesis to Revelations. Prior to pre-cross, it's the Christophany. They may not say Christ's name, but they refer to him in different ways. But in the New Testament, they call them by his name. Post-cross, they call them by his name. Hallelujah. I don't know if that answers your question, but it's hard to, unless I go into somebody's mind, it's hard to kind of think about what they were thinking. But I would say this. I know they were humbled by the fact that God took his time to use them as an instrument of his glory.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Could they feel the weightiness of what they were doing? And it's feeling so precious to them because they were chosen to do this. That's the point. Yeah, you summed it up at the end. That was it.
Okay, because it was an humbling thing to have God use me. Because see, you know you, and you know your high points, you know your low points that have happened in your life, and you look and you say me, but it's you. Praise God.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
Let's
see. Who read that? Okay, next is Deacon AJ again. Next paragraph.
Yes. Okay. Ultimately, the authority of God's word focuses on personal accountability. God enforces his message. Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. Growing spiritually requires responding to the biblical message with undivided attention, humble submission, and unqualified obedience. James 1:19-22. End of paragraph.
Amen.
Wow. That said a lot. Mm-hmm. Any questions or comments about that paragraph? Thank you.
Any questions, Tiffany?
You on mute.
Any questions, Tiffany? Do you need clarity of anything that we're reading?
I'm on mute, but no. I'm reading.
Okay.
No.
I didn't want you to feel like you were excluded because you weren't able to read anything.
Oh, no. I'm here. I'm here.
All right.
And I think it would be, it's important to jot down the scriptures that you're hearing because the scriptures back up what is being said. And so you want to make sure that whatever's being said is biblically based. So that's why
right.
I give the addresses. Addresses
Amen.
Are important. Not only you may need to use them or give them to somebody else. Because somebody may say, oh, man wrote that book. You have to know the address to give them, to let them know they were breathed upon. 40 writers over 1,500 years put this thing together through the auspices of the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And to have it at, like it is a miracle in itself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. Hallelujah. Any questions or comments?
Mm.
All right.
Just like you said, Pastor, it's good to know the addresses because I know as many years as I guess witnessed into even to people when I was in school, you know, all through the years, that's one argument that people will give you, especially when they don't want to, and they will know within themselves too that the word of God is right, you know, but they will give you the argument of, a man wrote that, or another argument, the word of God contradicts itself. I've heard that a lot. The word of God contradicts itself. And so therefore, and the more you get into the word and the more you learn in different addresses, you'll be able to not just speak to that person intelligently, but be able to give them scripture to go along with it. Because then if you put it back on God, you don't put it on yourself. When you quote the scripture, you put it on the Lord and not on yourself. So therefore, how can they argue with God?
Well, thank you for sharing that. And see, one of the things that they do that, so it contradicts itself. See, you can do this, but where does it contradict itself? Well, I don't know. I just heard people say that.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good answer. See, people want to rationalize why they're doing what God would have them do. They want to rationalize why they aren't a Christian, why they aren't, flowing with love and all that kind of, they want to make it look like they are right and you wrong. But knowing the word of God is going to throw light on the situation. And it will make them have to back up and say, well, let me think about it. Or let me go do some research. Because people repeat what they heard a lot of times. They don't repeat what they know. They repeat what they heard. Because you are learning the addresses. You're not just repeating what you heard in church or Bible class or whatever, Bible school. You are repeating what you read. Now that's growing spiritually. Because somebody will come up to you and say, oh, you're just repeating what somebody told you. No, I'm repeating what I read via the Holy Spirit in the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, the next paragraph.
I think someone sounded very say something.
Oh, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to say, Pastor, I want to piggyback on what Sister Peaches was saying. Sometimes they just want to throw you off or rattle your cage to see if they can make you fumble around or something. They go, you're not all that in a bag of chips, you know. But just being on God and standing your ground and knowing the word, and even though a rebuttal that will come back and still put them in their place. They don't know, but you do.
And see, the worst thing for a Christian trying to witness to somebody is a Christian starts hemming and hawing, like they don't know what they know. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
But when you know the scripture and the address, you can speak with confidence and with boldness. And you're ready to give a response to someone who wants to, glory to God, who want to call they want to call good bad and bad good. You have a response to them, and it's a holy response because it's the word of God.
Hallelujah.
Anybody else have a comment?
Powerful.
Sister Tiffany?
That's very, very powerful. I said that's very powerful.
Yes.
Yeah. And the word of God is, and it's more, the more you learn and the more you memorize the scripture, the more powerful you become.
That's right. And confident.
Yes.
And see, confidence is very important.
Yeah.
Because confidence is like the first layer of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that believes that he that come to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith, the precursor, the door to faith is confidence in the word of God. And then you can step out in faith because you believe God's word. You're confident in his word. And that'll make you feel more sure-footed, blessed, and anointed, because you are. And I'm going to tell you something. Some folks, see, the enemy does things. He wants to put doubt in your mind. When you know the word of God, when you know the addresses, you have become anointed. When you speak those words, because his word is anointed. You suddenly become an anointed of the Lord when you start speaking what God said.
Yeah.
You are an anointed. Now, folk got to watch out for you. In other words, the Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. The Bible says God is righteous to recompense tribulation to those who trouble you. Folk got to watch out now. You have become the anointed of the Lord when you speak and know his word and speak it in truth and honesty. With integrity of heart.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Mm. Any other comment, question on that paragraph? Let's go to the next one. Someone read.
The unity of God's word. Although the Bible contains 66 different books written over a period of approximately 1,500 years, it holds together as the ongoing story of God's redemptive program in the world. The Old Testament focuses primarily on God's dealing with his people, Israel. The New Testament continues the story with the founding of the church, a group composed of believers in Jesus from every nation. God has not forgotten his promises to Israel. His blessings focus on the church at the Pentecost to show the breadth of his mercy. A continuity of promise and fulfillment links the two testaments, Matthew 5:17. The future age of spiritual blessing predicted by the prophets began with the ministry of Jesus, Luke 4:16-21. Even a Gentile outreach of the church is the achievement of God's initial promise to Abraham that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12:3. See also Galatians 3:8. End of paragraph.
My. Any comments or questions?
This shows how the two books are tied together.
Yes.
You know, like one lays the foundation and one continues it on.
Hallelujah. That's so true. At this point, I need to throw in any other comments concerning this paragraph. Any questions?
The book is just so powerful. I know the Jews mainly deal with the Old Testament. Messianic Jews deal with the Old and New Testament because they know that Jesus Christ, they acclaim Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, and it's just like you can't have one without the other. They both go together. They both go together. And you aren't living a full life that he would want you to live if you only live by half of the book.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
That's right. That makes sense. Mm-hmm.
You're missing a whole lot if you don't eat the whole book.
That's right.
All
the
66
whole
books.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. I need to interject something because I have to make a correction. And you need to write this down. And why I deal with what I'm going to deal with is because the more you know about the Word of God, the more you know about the Word of God. and it adds to your confidence when you know these things. Now, a couple of times I mentioned how many words were in the King James Version Bible. I needed to be specific. The King James Version Bible that was printed in 1611, it had 788,280 words. Okay. 609,269 words in the Old Testament.
The King James Version
Bible that was published in 1611, the authorized version, had 788,280 words in it.
Right.
609,269 words in the Old Testament. And 179,011 in the New Testament. Why the error in the 17 or 1800s, I've forgotten the year, I think it was 18 something like 80 or something. They revised the authorized King James Version and dropped some words out of it.
Okay.
That's why the difference. So I wanted to make sure that we nail this thing just where it is because somebody going to check your facts, your fact check. And going to tell you that you're wrong. So again, the King James Version Bible that was published in 1611, the authorized King James Version Bible had 788,280 words. 609,269 in the Old Testament and 179,011 in the New Testament.
Yes.
I had to correct that.
Okay, so the numbers that you gave us was 7,083,187.
That's incorrect. When we deal, and you can just cross that out because I'm dealing with the King James Version Bible 1611. So that is incorrect.
Okay.
That's
okay.
That's a later version of the King James Version Bible.
Okay.
So we want to make sure we nail this so that people won't say, oh, no, you're wrong. You let them know.
That's
that.
The words in the King James. Okay.
King James Version that was published in 1611. In 1611. All right. Now, getting back, because I had to tell you that before I forget. I had to get that out to you before I forget.
Praise the Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The next paragraph, if you would. Okay, you know what? Don't read the next paragraph, because I think we only have about 4 minutes left. So any questions about anything that was read or said today, or any question that you have about growing towards spiritual maturity that we haven't talked about yet, or we've talked about, if you want to go over it again. This is Q&A. Comment or anything.
You know what, Pastor? When Sister Peaches finished reading, she read the two last scriptures, Genesis 12:3 and Galatians 3:8. And it's one more little paragraph, but it's only like 3 or 4 sentences. I think you should clear that up before you go to the next bracket.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, consequently, believers are biblical Christians, not just New Testament Christians. Insight for spiritual growth and Christian living come from the whole Bible, Romans 15:4 and 1 Corinthians 10:6-11. God's supernatural control ensures a coherent, non-contradictory biblical message. That sort of goes with what you were just saying, too. That's like the end of it all.
Okay, can you read that again? Because that needs to be highlighted.
Yes, yeah, definitely. I did. Okay, consequently, believers are biblical Christians, not just New Testament Christians. Insights for spiritual growth and Christian living come from the whole Bible.
Thank you.
Romans 15:4 and 1 Corinthians 10:6-11. God's supernatural control ensures a coherent, non-contradictory biblical message.
You know, one of the 7 pillars of wisdom is to have a coachable, teachable spirit.
Amen.
And I remember me saying this many times in the past about we are New Testament Christians. I stand corrected. Y'all don't mind. Excuse my dust. We are biblical Christians. Y'all will really get that later on when you start meditating on that. Because we need the whole word.
That's right.
Because when Jesus came, he didn't cancel the old contract, the Old Testament, the old agreement. He fulfilled it.
Yep.
So it's necessary to see where the beginning and the end and everything in the middle. We are biblical Christians.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Can you read that one more time? Just one more time. Just one
more time. That is a true nugget. I'm telling you, it really is. Consequently, believers are biblical Christians, not just New Testament Christians. Insight for spiritual growth and Christian living come from the whole Bible, Romans 15:4, 1 Corinthians 10, 6 through 11. God's supernatural control ensures a coherent, non-contradictory biblical message.
May God add signs, wonders, miracles, and blessings to all of this, all of what we shared today in Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Elder TV. I appreciate that. Our class is over. Father God, we just thank all.
Thank
you, Lord, for all those students that are here. We thank you for the families that are represented, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for even the students that was not here. We ask that you would bless every one of the students of God, their families, oh God. Hallelujah. Breathe upon them with your glory and with your Holy Spirit. Breathe upon them prosperity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make every crooked place straight, every rough place plain, every valley exalted, every mountain and hill make glory, and let your glory be revealed in Jesus' name. And we praise your name forever.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen. And the next class that will be coming up is Know Your Bible. So that's the book you're going to need for the next class, taught by a Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, fire-baptized, demon-destroying, guardian of the altar, warrior of the word, none other than the peaches. Hallelujah. So you have a little time to refresh yourselves, get something to drink, finish eating that chicken leg, wipe the grease off your fingers and face, and we'll be back. And I don't know what Pastor Peter does. Probably about 8-9 minutes. God bless you. I think 8 or 9 minutes, isn't it? Your class starts at 7:50, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So at whatever time it is, we're going to come back at 7:50.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. So we'll play some music in the background. Or would you rather me sing? No, I thought I heard a no, maybe I didn't hear a no. But anyway.
Say your music, Pastor.
Okay. Lord help. You say you can't hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Jesus.
Thank you.
I think I know this is one book, I guess, it has always been, I guess, in my home, my mom. I think I learned how to read from the Bible before I learned Dick and Jane.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm serious. Can someone tell me what the first 1, 2, 3 for first 5 of the books are called in the starting from the Old Testament? Can anybody tell me
again?
Anybody tell me what the first 5 books of the in the Bible are called?
The book they call the Law.
Okay. Somebody else, give me another name for it. Also, very good.
The book of Pentateuch.
Yes. And there's it. Also
again.
Another name.
Torah.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Now, if there is anyone that's not familiar with those words, just let us know and we will repeat them.
Please repeat.
Okay, the first one, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Oh, yeah.
Are all books of the Law, the Torah, and the Pentateuch. You can even call them the books of Moses.
Well, yes, the book of Moses.
Yeah. So if anybody say, well, what's the first 5 books in the Bible called? Because I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes you can find people where someone know that you are saved and you feel the Holy Ghost and they want to pick, they want to argue. They'll ask you questions like this.
Yeah.
Well, because they want to see. And it's all done in sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was,
well, what's the first 5 books of the Bible called?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to whip it out on them. Make their hands stand up on the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all in knowing your Bible. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Peaches, can I ask a question real quick?
Yes, Pastor.
Oh, no, I just want, how do you spell Torah?
T-O-R-A-H.
And what about Pentateuch?
You saw that for us.
I know. I'm trying to remember what I said. Pentateuch. Oh, Jesus. Lord have mercy.
I think it's P-E-N-T-A... That T A C H.
Okay, let me ask you.
Was that T E C H? Which one?
Siri. So
Pentateuch. Is that T E C H or T A C H?
Let me go back to my notes.
Okay.
I can't read my own writing.
Okay. Now Siri told me it's spelled P E N. T-A-T-E-U-C-H-E. And so now...
What?
Yeah. I'm going to ask you.
I never spelled that like that.
Let me ask him again. Hey, Siri.
T-E-N-T-E-N-T-A-T-E-U-C-H.
One more time.
About that E off the end of it. E-U-C-H. Okay, P-E-N-T-A-T-E-U-H.
P-E-N-T-A-T-E-U-H.
P-E-T-E-U-H. Okay, I'm gonna start over. I'm gonna start over.
Please.
P E N T A T E U C H.
It's pronounced Pentateuch.
P E N T E P N Pentateuch. Pentateuch. That don't sound right. P E N T E.
This is another language.
Okay, listen, y'all. It is not an English word.
That's
why your letters are not going to look like that. It's not going to sound the way it looks or pronounce the way it looks. P E N T A T E U C H.
Thank you.
And Sister Willie, you know you're a little muffled too.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe I was. That time I was holding up to my. Do I sound muffled now?
It's a little better. It doesn't seem to be as clear as it has to speak.
I might be holding too close to my mouth.
Okay.
Okay. There. Thanks, Elder Kiwi. There are. Okay. The next division of and some of what I may go over tonight is, it may sound repetitious, and these things you sure you already had in your notes.
That's
the more you hear it, the more you will become familiar with it. And also, this is a way also, y'all, to memorize it so y'all can be a part of the challenge.
That's going on
the challenge
Sunday,
that we
isn't it?
Y'all can get one of them envelopes from off the board, off the wall down in church.
Amen. Oh,
amen.
There, okay, the next group in the next subdivision in the Old Testament is called, I want somebody to tell me what it is and how many books in it.
It's called History of the 12 Books.
All right. Very good. Very good. What do they start with?
Starts with Joshua.
Mm-hmm. Where does it end?
It ends with Esther.
All right.
Yeah, the book of poetry.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Tiffany. Can you tell me the book of poetry?
I can. I'm just taking notes off of what y'all are saying for real.
Okay, you have your the Know Your Bible book?
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Know Your Bible book. Wait a minute.
Uh-huh, it's a real, real small, thin one.
I got the History of English Bible in front of me.
Uh-huh. And the Know Your Bible is the smallest book.
Oh, the little tiny one.
Right, because uh-huh. All six books. At the top.
Let me know when you find it. I'm gonna help you do something with it.
Can you help her?
Okay. When you find it, open it up to the table of contents. It's like the second page. Got it, Tiffany?
I'm still looking. Hold on. I'm still looking for a little. Hold on. Hold on.
So, QB, do you or AJ know another name for the book of poetry?
Wisdom or wisdom?
The five
Very
of
good.
Them. Start to go over the Solomon.
Okay, is that you, Tiffany? You say you got
it?
Okay. Let's open. Turn to the book, the table, the second page is table content.
Okay.
Okay. Then going down says introduction, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Draw a line under Deuteronomy.
Okay.
and write the word Torah. This is the book of the Torah, T-O-R-A-H, on the side.
T-O-R-A-H. A-H, Torah. Got it.
Yes. Now, going under, okay, you drew that line under Deuteronomy. The next set of books is called the 12 books of history. Draw a line under the book of Esther. E-S-T-H-E-R. Draw a line under that one.
Okay.
Okay. The next group, these are subdivisions in the Old Testament. The next subdivision is poetry. It's five books of poetry. Another word of poetry, the books of poetry is books of wisdom. It's also called books of wisdom. Draw a line under Song of Solomon.
Okay.
Okay. Now, who can tell me what the next division is?
Major prophet.
Okay. Draw a line under, AJ, wait a minute, Tiffany. AJ, give me the book of the major prophets.
Isaiah, it's five. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, and Daniel.
Okay. Draw a line under Daniel, Tiffany.
Okay. And what are those?
These are the major prophets.
The major prophets.
Prophets. Uh-huh. And they were called major prophets, not because they were, they called major because of the size of their writing. Their chapters is a little bit more than the minor prophets, that's all. And under the next, under Daniel, is the start of the minor prophets. It's, how many of those, Elder Kibbe?
There are 12 of them. Starts with Hosea.
Yes. And where do they end up?
Starts with Malachi.
Early page.
Yes.
Malachi.
Draw a line under Malachi, Tiffany. M-A-L-A-C-H-I.
Got it. That's the last of the Old Testament.
Is this one?
They were the minor prophets.
The minor prophets.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in the Old Testament, there's 39 books in the Old Testament. And we added up the 5, the 12, the 5, the 5, the 12. We come up with 39. 39 mm-hmm. books in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, using turning the page of our, in the book, Know Your Bible, how many, okay, can someone tell me the first division in the New Testament? And wait a minute, how many divisions are there? Subdivisions. How many subdivisions are there in the New Testament?
Five.
Very good. It's five in the New and it's also five in the Old. The subdivisions in the New Testament also have, they're also divided. And they also have different names. The first subdivision in the New Testament is called what?
The Gospel.
Yes. And this may be repetitious, y'all, but the more you hear, the more you're down in your spirit. And one of y'all just may be bold enough to accept that challenge on Sunday. Somebody named the five Gospels. And then when we get to the last gospel, draw a line under it, Tiffany. Somebody get the first subdivision in the New Testament is called the Gospel. Somebody name the Gospels. So read them, please.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Very good. Draw a line under that one, under John.
There are four of them. Is that correct?
Yes, four.
Okay.
Yes, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right, but
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Dr. Bird.
Huh?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
I thought I heard someone say there are five Gospels.
Four.
No. Subdivisions.
We have five.
No,
five.
I just hear things. I'm sorry, y'all. Excuse my dust.
Yeah, you hear yourself. That's I excuse your dust.
All right. Now, also in the New Testament, is it a book or book of history?
Mm-hmm.
One. Don't even.
Okay. And you can even draw a circle around Evan Tiffany or draw a line on it. It's X. X
all
is
by
the
itself.
Only book of history in the New Testament.
He's lonely.
Someone tell me what the next subdivision is in the New Testament.
That girl's name, Paulina.
Pauline Epistles.
And how many are there in there?
14.
Very good.
Could you spell epistles for me?
E-P-I-S-T-L-E-S.
How you say it? Can you repeat that?
Do the whole thing. Paulina.
It's Pauline. P A U L I N E. Two words. Epistles. E P I S T L E S. Pauline Epistles. And it's 14. Can somebody read me what the epistles are? What the Pauline epistles? What is included in the Pauline epistles?
Start with
Rome.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, baby.
Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, and Hebrews.
Okay. Draw a line under that. That's the Pauline epistles. Draw a line under that. It's 14 of them. And what is the next subdivision called?
General apostles or epistles.
Okay. And how many is in it?
7.
Okay. Read what they are. Read me what they are, please, someone.
James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude.
These are the general epistles, and it's 7. The last subdivision in the New Testament is called the Book of Prophecy.
Uh-huh.
P-R-O-P-H-E-C-Y. I think that's all correct.
That's correct.
The book.
Go ahead, AJ.
Now, if y'all,
I want to get the children.
In your spare time, familiarize yourself with them. And if you take the challenge, when the pastor opens it up to take the challenge, you must name what that division is, and then name the book. Okay.
Right. One question to the teacher.
Yes.
Could you spell that word general? S is general. Apostles or something? Can you spell it for me? Epistles.
G-E-N-E-R-A-L-E-P-I-S-T-L-E-S. General epistles. Two words.
And Pastor Peaches, from Joshua down to Esther, what was that called?
That was called the Book of History.
Okay.
And it's 12 of them.
12 of them.
Yeah, I can see my pen.
I have a question.
Yes.
I think the last time we said that
history?
Paul wrote the general epistles, right?
No.
Paul wrote the Pauline epistles.
The Pauline epistles, and then other ones where it says different authors, they were the general epistles?
Yes.
I got that back. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And can anybody tell me what an epistle is?
Letters.
Yes, it's just a letter. And through the years, the word epistle has been dropped, and we'll just say a letter. Something that we write today can be an epistle. It's a letter. We use the word letter. Okay? And the longest verse in the Bible. I know this is information y'all already have. Okay?
That's the 8 and 9.
That's
the yes. What? Esther 8 and 9. That's the 9th
okay.
Verse.
Esther
43
eight,
words in it.
Verse 9. Very good. And the shortest verse in the Bible?
John 11:35.
What is it?
Jesus wept. I try not
okay.
to make him cry.
And the longest, can it, someone read the longest verse in the Bible, please?
Okay. I can read it. That's Esther.
Where you at, girl? Come here.
All right. I have it.
Okay.
Then were the kings.
Wait a minute, everybody.
What happened when I learned where all the books were?
All right, you go, girl.
I'm so sorry.
Does everybody have it?
I'm learning stuff. I'm learning.
She's learning. We slow, but we show it.
Hold on. Has Angie joined us? Are you with us, Tess?
I'm with you. Who are you talking about?
The Esther 8, verse 9.
Okay, Esther 8, verse 9. I got you.
Yes, Esther 8, verse 9. This is the long, AJ is going to read it. This is the longest verse in the Bible. Go ahead, AJ.
Okay, it says, then were the king scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month the seventh,
yeah,
on the 23rd day thereof. And it was written according to all that
Mordecai
commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and the rulers of the
provinces
which are from India unto Ethiopia and 127 provinces unto every province according to the writing thereof and unto every people after their language and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. I don't have a clue what that means.
Thank you. There's 43 words in that verse, and that's the longest verse in the Bible.
What is it saying?
To read after we go off, after we finish, to read. I wanted, the purpose of reading that was to share with you the longest verse in the Bible. And I don't know if anybody was counting the words as we were going along. There's 43 words.
What does it mean?
May I interject, Pastor Peaches?
Yes, Pastor.
This was after Haman, who was an enemy of the Jewish people, had decreed that they all be killed. And Esther went before the king. She was made the queen, but she went before the king without him bidding her to come. And she said, if I perish, let me perish, but I got to see the king. Because there was a decree that all of the Jewish people be killed. And they found out that the king discovered, of course, that Esther was Jewish and that Haman tricked him and had decreed that all the Jews would be killed. And so the king had Haman killed uncle, who was not Mordecai. And Mordecai was sending another all of the provinces, 127 provinces throughout the kingdom, some new facts and some new declarations and what was done. So it's like this is a notice. You know, we're sending a notice or a newspaper or a letter to everybody, all the leaders in all the provinces. So that's what that scripture was all about as a result of what had transpired. That, in essence, stop worrying, you're not going to be killed because the guy that wanted you killed, he himself was executed by the king.
Hmm.
I don't know if that explains it, but read Esther because it's a very fascinating book and everything that happened during that time. This was during the Babylonian captivity.
Yes. Could I piggyback on that too, Pastor?
Yes.
There's a film that has come out called One Night with the King.
Oh, yeah.
And that story, exactly. I watch it every time. It's called One Night with the King. It talks about how Esther was when she was a little girl, what her uncle said to her as she was going along, how to act in the palace, how he changed her name before she went. And it is beautiful. And it's called One Night with the King. If you ever see it on TV, watch it. It's this. The word of God right here.
Amen.
Praise God.
So it's a good story. It's not just
yes, it
a story. It happened. And Haman was one of the Amalekites. And this goes all the way back to Saul. And so when God told Saul to kill everything, the animals, everybody, don't leave nothing alive. And he didn't do it.
Let him live as a baby.
Mm-hmm. And his disobedience... He lost his throne and eventually lost his
life.
That's right. But a survivor of that, a descendant, was Haman. That's why Haman hated the Jews. He wanted revenge. And that's the background story. I apologize, Pastor Peace, for going.
Thank
really
you, Dr. Berry.
All right,
good
go ahead.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, AJ, was your question answered?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm going to mention, you may already have them also in your notes. The number of words, I think this is one that the pastor corrected. The number of words in the King James Bible, 783,137 words in the King James Version Bible.
Okay, we changed that, remember?
We changed that one.
Right,
yes,
right. That's what I corrected. It's 788,280.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we changed that, so you can cross that out.
That's what I shared first. I just said that this is the one I believe the pastor changed.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I gave some more information about how many in the Old Testament and how many in the New Testament.
Yes, sir.
And, but they shared those from that. Thank you.
That's what I was going to say.
He's like, I got this.
All right, I apologize again, Pastor Peace, for speaking up. Excuse my job.
The printing press was invented in 1455. The printing press was invented in the
what?
Bible. The Gutenberg. Gutenberg.
What's that?
G-U-T-T-E-N-B-U-R-G.
What year?
This is 1455. What's the year the printing press was invented?
Are you saying the printing press? What are you saying? Are you saying printing press?
Yes.
All right, Tiffany, you had your coffee. All right.
And I believe that Gutenberg had another, the name of the Bible had another name. This is one of the first Bibles. Dr. Berg.
Oh, thank you. The
You're
first book that was printed was the Bible. And it was the Coverdale Bible. And it's also called the Gutenberg Bible. But it was a 16-inch high Bible. And
what?
It was the first book that was printed from Gutenberg's printing press.
It was printed on the Gutenberg printing press.
The Bible.
And it was, this Bible was so thick. It was 16 inches high.
High. It was a big Bible. It was like one of the family Bibles. That's how big and how tall it was.
What was the name of the Bible?
It was called the Coverdale Bible. Some people refer to it as the Gutenberg Bible.
He's breaking up. I can't understand what he's saying.
Okay. He's saying Coverdale Bible.
Okay.
Coverdale Bible.
The printing press was called a Gutenberg printing press, and the first the Bible that was printed was the Coverdale Bible.
Some refer to it also as the Gutenberg Bible.
Okay, so it has two names.
That was the first book ever coming off the first printing press was the Holy Bible.
Miss Willie, can you repeat that? Because he's breaking up.
Okay. Mm-hmm. The Gutenberg Bible was also called the Coverdale Bible.
Okay. Yeah.
And these Bibles are in one of your books. It's in the pictorial history book that y'all have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These two names are in in the table of contents in the introductory, in your pictorial, textbook. Of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
These two, and make sure that the when I spelled it, I'm spelling correctly. Gutten is either Burg or Berg. The Gutenberg Bible.
Okay, and that's a 1455 one, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That's what it is.
Okay.
May I interject that it was in English? It was in English. This is the English Bible. This was the English Bible.
Okay, this is the English Bible.
The English Bible, okay.
It was an English Bible.
Okay, and something very short. I want to, are there any questions? Excuse me. Are there any questions?
No.
Okay. Also, the book, the Song of Solomon was also called the Song of Songs. Solomon, when sometimes people write, as I've even seen the paper, it's called the Song of Songs, but it's also called the Song of Solomon.
Song of Songs.
So that has two different names. Some people call it the Song of Songs.
Song of Solomon.
And also the Song of Solomon.
Okay.
Isn't that the love story in the Bible?
Ooh, juicy stuff.
Oh, I haven't read that one.
And
I
made notes on this subdivision in the New Testament. You know how when you hear certain scriptures or certain books of the Bible, certain things come to your mind?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This the subdivision of the books of... Am I have a question?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The subdivision of the books of poetry.
Okay.
When you hear of the book of Job, what do you think about?
Mm-hmm.
What comes to mind? Anybody?
Restoration. Lost everything and got restored a few times.
All right. When you hear of the book of Psalms, what do you think of? What do you think of?
David loves his love poem to the Lord. At least I do, anyway.
Okay. And these were also written to be spoke out loud and also to be sung.
Mm-hmm.
When you read when you hear the book of Proverbs.
That was David.
To me, that's like, go ahead, AJ.
I was trying to hear what did you say about David?
Was the what? No, she said, what do you think about when you hear Psalms?
Yeah, and repeat what you said, Kibi.
I think of David because that's like his love letters to the Lord back and forth when he was a shepherd.
Okay. And there was more writers in the book of Psalms than David also.
Right. I think about that though. Yeah.
Yes, and sometimes some Bibles will have it right above, like right under, like the chapter, the number of the chapter, who wrote it, something. Uh-huh. But when we read. When we think of Psalms, we do think of David. When you think of the book of Proverbs, what do you think of?
Well, that's like a teaching, because that's the heart of you being a Christian, because it's like a mother talking to his child. That's the way it starts out, training your child in the Word of God. And then I love it when it ends. When this is the 31st chapter, because it talks about being a good wife, the characteristics that a wife should have or a woman should have when she's thinking about being married to be attractive to a man, those attributes that are godly.
Yes. Whenever, and I said to myself, I said, you know what, when male babies are born in the hospital, I say the hospital ought to give the mothers the book of Proverbs from the first chapter to the seventh chapter. Because it will allow a man, if you read it, The men will not fall to the traps of the woman, of a female, because we can be very cunning, very seductive, mm-hmm. and very enticing. And the men, we have what a man will fall for, and they fall right in the trap. We can trap them in.
Uh-huh.
And the first seven books of Proverbs, they mm-hmm. Yeah, when you hear the book of Ecclesiastes, what do you think of?
Mm-hmm.
I always think of a time too.
It's a time for everything
under the sun. Yeah, and that's what the book of when I read it, think of the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a time to die, a time to live, a time to embrace. It's a time to refrain from embracing. Yes. And the song of Solomon, and I think of the Song of Solomon, I think of hot, sexy stuff.
Oh.
That's where my mind goes.
Oh.
I get that.
Because it's all the sex. It's in the song of Solomon.
That's right.
He says, I am black. I am comely. This man, you can just imagine how this man looks.
No, he talked about aggressive teeth, everything.
Yes.
I said, ooh.
Hey, y'all want to read these? One of my sisters used to hide the two romance novels underneath the mattress.
Yeah.
She said, y'all want to read some love stories? She said, open up the Bible. It's all in the Bible. It's in the Bible, even how David, was it David at Bathsheba? He raped Bathsheba and then sent Bathsheba's husband into the front line to be killed because he made the man's wife pregnant.
Yes,
he sent the man off the water to be killed.
Really?
Trying to cover it up.
It's juicy stuff in the scrubbing. You will be reading stuff and you say, oh, my gosh, I didn't know this stuff was in the Word of God. I'm serious. Once you start reading, and another thing, y'all, if y'all can get it, put the app on your phone. If you can put, and then after you read the Word of God and then listen to it, you will hear so much more that you did not read.
Yeah.
I've done it. I'm looking at it like, oh, my gosh, is that in there? Did I read that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I mean, it's some good stuff in here, y'all. It is. It's 8:30 now. Our time is up. Thank you so very much for your time, Dr. Burris.
Yes, I'm still here. And I'd just like to say, one day, we will preach a sermon on coming out of the Song of Solomon.
She did that Valentine's week.
Yes, I can.
I'm going to make sure it's not rated X.
No, it's going to be rated X. It's going to be rated G. God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But thank you so much for attending your class today. Thank God for, for the interaction that you've had, the questions, the comments, even the suggestions. And thank you for excusing my deaf.
And don't forget to give me that book, you know, her right book.
Yes, I'll get, yes.
Here.
You still there, girl?
I am still here. I just had to go over, I think, three things that I heard and I made sure that I wrote down. You said the Song of Songs. That's also the Song of Solomon, correct?
Yes.
All right. And then when you were speaking in regards to the book, the English Bible, you said that it was called Gettysburg.
Gutenberg.
And it's also how do you say it?
Gutenberg.
Gutenberg. G-E-T-T-E-N-B-U-R-G.
G U T T E N B U R G.
Okay. And it's also called Coverdale. Coverdale Bible. And what does printing press go? How does printing press go with that?
That was 1455. That was the first Bible. That was printed.
Published it.
Okay. All right, those are the notes from that.
You're good, girl.
And then I got the one thing, the King James, we changed the name. The King James Bible has 788,280. And then they were broken down, 609,269 in the Old Testament, and 179,011 in the New Testament. And that was the 1611. That was the year of the King James Version, correct?
Right. It was published.
All right.
The Bible was published.
All right. Okay. I'm with you.
Okay.
Hey, girl.
And I need to touch bases with you tomorrow to find out what time you'll be in, what time I can drop past the edition that we need. Okay.
So tomorrow is good.
Okay. Can you hear me now? Yes, dear. I'm
sorry.
Okay. What time, Tiffany?
I get home tomorrow after 5.
Okay. Just let me know when you're in, okay?
Okay.
All right.
I believe I got to work tomorrow until 5.
And welcome aboard, Tiffany. I'm so